The Western Mass Business Show, WHMP.
Hi, this is Ira Brick, and I welcome you to the Western Mass Business Show, where every week I speak to somebody who's in the world of work and business around Pioneer Valley. That can be somebody that actually owns a factory or a store, or somebody that supports businesses, or somebody who owns a business that does a certain service. They are all by themselves. You may not look at them and say, that's a business, not a person. But as we know, in the United States, a business is a person. So here I have Sarah Getoff, who is a parent coach, parenting coach, and psychotherapist. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
I'm always fascinated by how people chose their careers based on what were the early influences, what impressed you. And so could you just talk a little bit about what were the ingredients that led you to be a parenting coach and psychotherapist?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I was always the kid that other kids talked to. Mm-hmm. And from an early age, it became clear that I really enjoyed helping people through talking to them about what was going on for them. And also my father, who I admired greatly, was a psychotherapist. Uh-huh. And so for a long time, I think I just really saw what he did and saw how wise and compassionate he was and how able he was to help a lot of people with a lot of different types of problems.
Uh-huh.
And I naturally gravitated. He did, uh-huh. Yeah, without naming names, of course, uh-huh. But he did talk about his work. And I could see just in the way that he lived, uh-huh. And in the way that he interacted with people.
So did you grow up with some grasp of psychotherapeutic theory, psychoanalytic theory?
Yes, uh-huh. Although less theory and more practice. Uh-huh. I just really saw how wise and compassionate and connected he was with people, mm-hmm. and how a healing relationship could naturally stem from that. Mm-hmm. And of course, I learned all the theory and, you know, have right. got all the degrees, but I really think that it's the work from the heart
right.
that came to me because he was so good at that, and I was raised in that.
Uh-huh. Okay. And your mother, did she have any influence from her career?
Yes. My mother was a teacher, uh-huh. and I wanted to teach as well, and I did early on. I worked with children in the first phase of my career.
Yeah.
And it was through working with children and gaining those skills that I decided I also wanted to be a parent coach. I saw how important it was to raise children with respectful uh-huh. and effective approaches, right. and that a lot of people needed help learning those.
We'll talk all about that. I just have to make the comment, though, that this is not that you joined a family business, but there are a lot of people whose careers come from the calling that their family has felt historically. So you're in that camp.
Yes, I built this business from nothing, but mm-hmm. it was very much inspired by both mm-hmm. of my parents and right. the way that they lived
yeah.
and the way that they helped people in the world.
So just one more question. So how was their parenting affected by their wisdom and their career, et cetera?
I was one of the lucky ones, mm-hmm. Ira. I was very blessed with the hand that I got dealt. I had skillful, intentional, respectful, and loving parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I teach the parents that are in my practice is, you know, I've read the books and I've read the theories and I understand the different schools of thought around parenting, mm-hmm. but really what I'm teaching people is just the way that I was raised.
Right. So what is at the core of your philosophy about parenting?
At the core is that children, when they feel right on the inside, when things are okay with them emotionally, mm-hmm. they are more able and really fully able to behave better on the outside mm-hmm. with really just some minimal skills.
Right.
I do a lot of teaching of skills for parents, but a lot of what I teach parents is how to create an environment for themselves emotionally and for their children emotionally where they feel emotionally balanced mm-hmm. and well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can all think of times when we've been at our worst,
right?
Right? When we as adults have behaved badly.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much invariably, we behave badly when something's not right inside.
Right.
That's
so
true for kids as well.
You don't have to be an evil parent to have a bad effect on your child.
I don't believe in evil parents.
Okay.
I believe we're all doing the very best we can with the skills that we have, but we all can learn more skills.
So what are a couple of the commonplace errors that parents might make who are intelligent, loving, well-meaning people?
Well, one of the things that all of us as parents struggle with and that all of us as human beings struggle with is our own emotional triggers,
mm-hmm.
right? None of us had a perfect childhood.
Right.
We've all got some issues that we're struggling
with.
Meaning
there's a gun that is inside of you and all you need to do is trigger it.
there are there's emotional pain that's inside all of us, and then things trigger it. So sometimes our child might be disrespectful towards us, and if we were raised in a home where we felt disrespected as a child, that old experience can get triggered, right? And when we are triggered, we cannot use our best skills.
You're in some bad habit.
All of us. We all know the experience of we've been in a challenging situation with someone that we love, and we say something that really just makes the situation worse, right? I've been there. We've all been there. And 20 or 30 minutes later, we think, oh, gosh, I wish I had said X instead of Y, right? It's not that we don't know what the better Y would have been to say. It's that we were so triggered we couldn't use those better skills, even though we have them.
So
a little bit of what I do is teach parent skills, but a lot of what I do is I teach them this wonderful method called EFT tapping that I'd love to tell you more about.
Love to hear it.
But what it does is it helps parents to, on a very profound level, release those emotional triggers so that their kid does that exact same thing again next week, and they don't get so emotionally reactive, so then they can use their skills.
Okay,
so that's just true for all of us.
Let's just dive into EFT. I happen to know, because my sister-in-law is a practitioner.
That's exciting.
Emotional freedom technique.
Yes.
I've never had it done, but how does tapping on somebody actually free any emotions?
Yes. Well, the idea is that the things that have happened to us in the past, the emotional residue or the triggers, as I like to call them, are not just in our thoughts and our feelings, right? They're in our bodies as well, because our minds and our bodies are not separable. And what EFT does is it moves those emotional stuck places literally right out of our system. I feel like I'm teaching people how to do magic on themselves a lot of the time, because it is such a simple method, but it also is so profoundly powerful. And it's being used in more and more areas of life. More and more people are talking about it. Nurses are using it now. Psychotherapists are using it. Massage therapists are using it. It's being used on television now with wide audiences.
And I can see why it would work. Just from my 66 years on Earth, it kind of makes sense. But the cynical question is, does it work on you if you don't believe it? Would it work on your dog?
I have had a lot of people come into my practice who don't believe it, because they come in with their partner who does believe it, right? Often, because I work with a lot of couples as well as parents, and often one person in the couple is all fired up about EFT because they either know about it already, or they know a friend who's been profoundly helped by it. So they sort of drag their partner in with their arms crossed over their chest, and, you know, they're sort of cynical and skeptical. And I love those folks, because it's not a placebo. So you don't have to believe in it. You don't have to be interested in it for it to work.
So what is the very short creation story? Did somebody accidentally tap on themselves and take notes, or what happened?
Well, tapping actually, someone told me, has been around for a very long time. Apparently the martial arts even use tapping. But you know, how someone first figured out that you can release long-held emotional pain out of the system by tapping, honestly, I couldn't tell you. But, you know, I can tell you about how it evolved from there and who created it, but I'm not, you know, I'm not sure how interested people are in all
that. So if somebody went through an effective EFT session, you might actually rid them of some trigger? Is it that simple?
Yes. And in my practice, I make it very measurable. So people come in, if they're struggling with anxiety, for example, we make it very measurable. How, on a 0 to 10 scale, how anxious are you feeling? How irritable is it making you? How difficult is it to fall asleep, right? And people rate it all, their own subjective measure, 0 to 10. And then we do a couple sessions, and then we go back to the numbers. And I have a money-back guarantee. I really believe, and I'm the only psychotherapist and parent coach that I've ever heard of who has a money-back guarantee.
Can I ask you how often you have to give back money?
No one has asked for their money back. That is how effective EFT is. But if they did, I would give it back, because I believe that people should be helped. If they're going to hand over their money and get a service, I think they should get that service, and it should work.
And it's great to find measurable instead of how do you feel today in general.
Right. When people see on the scale, like, oh, I was feeling anxious at a 10 all the time 2 weeks ago, and now it's at a 7.
Self-scoring is famously inaccurate, but like, how, when did you fall asleep, you know? So I'm here with Sarah Getoff, who is a parenting coach and psychotherapist. And so people come to you that are experiencing some distress in their parenting, right? I would imagine that there's some where they think they're doing a good job, but why is my child misbehaving? Like, what are the presenting problems, as they say?
Yes, often the behavior of the child is what parents come in talking about, mm-hmm. right? My child is having tantrums, or my teenager won't get off their phone, or my school-age child is refusing to help with chores.
So they might be looking to you for some hints and tricks of what to add to their currently okay parenting, rather than they don't come in so much saying, I must be a bad parent or lacking.
You know, it's a combination. I mean, you know, again, I don't believe in bad parents. Mm-hmm. I believe that all of us are doing the very best we know how to do. Mm-hmm. And all of us can learn to do better, whether mm-hmm. it's the parents I work with or the couples or the individuals.
Right.
But most parents will come in describing behaviors that their child is doing that they don't know how to solve. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they want to bring the child in. And I always start with the parents because mm-hmm. I say, if I can get you set up
right.
to give your child what they need 24/7, mm-hmm. that's going to be so much more effective than your child coming to see me once a week for mm-hmm. 50 minutes. I'm mm-hmm. nobody to your child, right? You're everything to them.
So then they are measuring the child's progress if you're not seeing that child.
I work much more with the parents than I do with the children, uh-huh. yes.
Okay, good. So we have a lot more to talk about. We are through with the first half. It goes very fast. We'll be back after the break. I'm Ira Brick from the Family Business Center of Pioneer Valley, and I have to say, tonight when I'm taping this, it is the last dinner forum that I will attend as the president before next month's passing the torch to my successor, Jesse Curley. So it's an emotional day for me. And we'll be right back.
The Western Mass Business Show, WHMP.
Are you driven to do more in your career? Are you driven to use the principles of business and management to make real change in the world? At the Eisenberg School of Management at UMass Amherst, our innovative part-time MBA program is ranked number one in Massachusetts with classes both online and at a satellite location near you. Register for an info session at eisenberg.umass.edu/register now. Eisenberg. We drive the driven.
Join Business West and Healthcare News on October 17th at the Sheraton Springfield for the third annual Healthcare Heroes Celebration. This year's honorees are
Carol Constant of Dementia Friendly Western Massachusetts and Loomis Communities, Tara Ferrante of ServiceNet, Christina Huebner-Torres of Caring Health Center, Frank Robinson of Bay State Health, Shriners Hospitals for Children, Springfield, Emily Yuguccione of Linda Manor Assisted Living, Amy Walker of Cooley Dickinson Healthcare, and Catherine Wilson of Behavioral Health Network.
Call 781-8600 to reserve tickets and celebrate these healthcare heroes.
Hello, this is Tara Brewster. As Vice President of Business Development at Greenfield Savings Bank, I understand the needs and challenges faced by local businesses. After all, before joining GSB, I worked at local businesses for more than 20 years, including more than 7 years at my own company. Call me, Tara Brewster, and let me show you how Greenfield Savings Bank can help your business.
Greenfield Savings Bank, with offices throughout Hampshire and Franklin counties. Member FDIC, member DIF.
There are a lot of challenges when you run your own business. Payroll, taxes, bookkeeping, these are critical to your success. I'm Brian Haley, CEO at BCH Account Pros in Hadley. We've been serving the Valley's business community for almost a decade. BCH Account Pros will help you maintain your financial health so you can focus on growing your business. Reliable, accurate, affordable, 100% local and organic. BCH Account Pros. Contact us today for a free one-hour consultation. BCHAccountPros.com.
The Western Mass Business Show, WHMP.
Hi, we're back. I'm Ira Brick. This is the Western Mass Business Show, and my guest today is Sarah Getoff, who is a parenting coach and psychotherapist that tries to help parents to help with some behaviors in their children. And, you know, I just would have to understand that parents have an idea of how to parent from how they were parented, or they want to be different than their parents, or they can't believe that. I can't believe I just said what my mother always said, or whatever it is.
Yes.
So what are the beliefs that you feel like parents hold on to that are not helping?
Well, you know, Ira, you really hit something right on the head there, that most of us, we either are doing what our parents did to us, or we're so determined not to do what mm-hmm. our parents did to us for whatever reason that we swing often too far in the opposite direction, mm-hmm. out of balance in the opposite direction to avoid being like they were. And the trick really is to heal on a deep level the emotional effects of what was done to us that was not helpful as children so that we can find the balance. Now, if we were blessed with great parents, then we're all set. Mm-hmm. But no parent is perfect, no matter how much they love us or how hard they try. The trick really is to look at what are the ways that we were parented that did not serve us. And then what I do in my practice is, again, I use EFT tapping mm-hmm. to release some of the long-held pain of what happened to us as children. And then when that comes into balance, we can more easily find a natural balance with our own parenting and more easily learn and use new skills when we need them.
So you have this resource of tapping, and then you're a psychotherapist. I mean, I look back, my kids are launched, but I read the book, How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen and Listen So Your Kids Will Talk. I read Parent Effectiveness Training. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a big fan of something I do in my roundtables, strategic questioning. I highly recommend it for especially teenage daughters. It's mm-hmm. a great conversation tool. What are the philosophies that you gravitate to, or does it not work like that for you?
It really, for me, depends on what I hear the parents describing, what's happening for them in their families. Mm-hmm. And what their child is needing in each situation. So I'm familiar, you know, with those authors, with those ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. But I think that one of the things that I love to do and that I think most benefits my clients is I don't have a one-size-fits-all approach. It really depends on the person in front of me and what they're going through mm-hmm. and what their child seems to need based on what their child is struggling with.
Yeah. Do you think that the parents come to you who are in a part of the spectrum where they are concerned about the quality of their parenting? But do you ever get people who you're like worried about the child, or you're a mandated reporter and need to deal with something that the parent said or did?
As a psychotherapist, I am a mandated reporter. Mm-hmm. If I have found out that the child is in serious danger, I'm legally required to report that. That almost never happens mm-hmm. in my practice. Mm-hmm. Most of the vast, vast majority of people who are coming to me, they just need some support. They just mm-hmm. need some new ideas. They're not abusive. They're not neglectful. They're just, you know, you're run-of-the-mill parents. We all need support sometimes. Parenting is one of the hardest jobs in the world.
I think they have it all together. So,
well, exactly. Yeah. I often say, you know, that the parents I worry about the most are the parents that will never come into my office because mm-hmm. they aren't getting the support that they want or need. And mm-hmm. I think we all need support sometimes. I'm a parent of a 16-year-old, and I have a dear friend who is parenting a daughter who's a couple years older, and we get together regularly, and we talk, and we support each other to keep ourselves on our own sort of parenting philosophical path.
Yeah,
it's easy to fall off with all the life stressors that parents are all dealing with. It's easy to do things that we later look back and we regret, and all of us need support in order to stay true to our own parenting beliefs.
So if you're a parent that does look back and you say, boy, my kid was a difficult child, according to the parent, maybe it was a difficult parent and a fine child. But should you go back and apologize? I'm sorry how badly I treated you when you're in your teens and you're having an identity crisis or whatever it is. How do you repair past damage?
I tell people that relationships can be repaired at any point. It's never too late to make a relationship better. And yes, I believe that at any point that any of us realize that we have done something that was outside of our own value system that we don't feel proud of, the faster we can go back and acknowledge it and own it and make a repair and an apology, whether it's to our child or to our partner or to a coworker or anyone else, I believe that nobody is perfect. Nobody expects us to be perfect. But if we can own when we don't do well, mm-hmm. we actually improve relationships that way. I apologize to my daughter on a regular basis if I do something that I feel like I'm not proud of. And not only am I helping her understand that I'm not perfect, but I'm also showing her how to own her issues.
You're modeling humility and
exactly modeling. Yes, and modeling how to repair a relationship. Otherwise, mm-hmm. what do? We just keep damaging.
Right.
And you know, then we wonder why our kids don't want to come back and visit us when they're grown.
Right.
You know, we can begin repairing that at any time.
So I can't imagine you have not been in this situation a few times. Parents come to you concerned about their child, and then it just is obvious to you that they had issues being parented. Can you tap the pain out of how they are as adult children so that they can turn around and not inflict it on their children?
Yes, that is the beauty of this body-based method. You know, I use the psychotherapy to help people understand and sort of get to that realization of where this came from. But even if they're not sure where it came from, because it's stored in the body and this EFT tapping method really gets to what's happening in the body, even beneath what's verbally accessible, yes, that's where we heal it.
Are some people better candidates for EFT? I mean, there's like different kinds of visual learners, auditory learners, kinesthetic learners. Are some people more a good candidate for tapping and others for more understanding a theoretical approach?
What I have found in my practice is that I am able to help about 99% of the people who come through my practice with EFT. And the one type of person that it seems to either not work for, or I'm not the right fit for, or EFT is not the right fit for, is people who are so profoundly cut off from their emotions that they don't even know when they're angry. They don't even realize that they're sad. They don't even experience fear. But if someone's in touch with their emotions enough, even if they don't like to talk about them, if someone knows what it feels like to be sad and angry and afraid, then EFT tends to work with them.
So there must be couples that one person is cut off much more than the other, and one is a good candidate. So how do you deal with that where somebody has much more potential than their partner?
Well, EFT is not the only way that I know how to work with people. So if a couple comes in and one person is very responsive to EFT and the other person's not, then I'm going to help the person with EFT as much as I can with EFT, and I'm going to help them both with all the other couples counseling skills that I have, and the relationship still gets better. And I also have people who come to me who want help with couples therapy and their partner's unwilling to come to couples therapy with them. And what I say is, I can help you improve your marriage when you're the only person in the room with me. Because we can work on our own stuff, and that impacts the marriage significantly.
Do you deal with people that are co-parenting even after they're not a couple anymore?
Oh, yes. I work with married couples. I work with separated and divorcing couples. I work with divorced couples who are trying to parent together, all along the spectrum. Yes. And that's I love it when parents who've decided not to be in a marriage anymore are still wanting to do the absolute best they can together for their child. Because what I tell my couples who are considering whether to divorce or stay married is, you know, children do well in a peaceful marriage, and children do well in a peaceful divorce. Children do not do well in a hostile marriage, and children do not do well in a hostile divorce. So as long, whether you stay together or not, if you can keep it peaceful for the kids are going to thrive.
And divorce is something that happens through the generation. So it's likely that if you're divorced, well, it's not likely, but there's a good chance that your parents had a traumatic experience in being divorced and being your co-parents that you're bringing to your situation.
Because we're all triggered by our past, right? So if our own parents had a very hostile divorce, then that's what we had modeled for us. And so we're going to need even more help learning how to do it differently with our children.
So we have time for a couple more questions. I'm just curious. I see parents that seem better at certain stages of parenting than others, and also grandparents. They don't like infants, but then they're okay with toddlers. But then when the kid can finally catch a ball, it's great for a few years until the kid starts taking driving lessons. Can you just discuss that?
Yes. Well, I found the same in my own parenting. And again, I think it goes back to triggers, that at different stages of development, our children pose different challenges to us. And if the challenges that they are posing are triggering for us in some reason, you know, for some reason, then that's going to affect our ability to parent them skillfully. So, for instance, if we had trauma at age six, when our child turns six, it's not uncommon that that old trauma sort of rears its ugly head and affects us on an unconscious level. If we had a sister who was very mean to us when she was a teenager, and then our daughter turns teenager and starts rolling her eyes or, you know, curling her lip, that's going to trigger that stuff.
I have to say, I had great parents. My mother was difficult, rest her soul, but I got along. My father was very maternal, a real man's man. I've seen him beat the crap out of people in the store that we had together, but I kissed him on the lips every day of my life. So my next question is, I have an expression, parenting is not over till they're dead and you're dead. I have two, one in their 20s and one in their 30s, and I love them dearly. I told them, you can have both my kidneys, no problem. But there's new challenges to being a parent of adult children, even after the launch. Can you just talk about that a little bit? And do you work with parents of adult children?
I do. I work with parents of who have children at all ages. And, you know, our kids' needs change on a very regular basis. As they go through different developmental stages, what they need from us changes. And so we have to try to keep up going through our own developmental stages as parents, right? They need us every minute practically as infants. Mm-hmm. And then it's a constant process of letting go and all the issues that that brings up for us, right? And then trying to parent them when they're adults and build a whole different kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can get stuck at different points along the way in our own development there. And that's another reason why we need support keeping up with the different right. phases
once
of parenting.
Once your kids leave the house, the whole meaning of your life changes. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, I help people with empty nest as uh-huh. well, because that can be a very painful time.
Yeah. To start stocking up on eggs around you. So the last question is, how does somebody get in touch with you and figure out if there's a match?
Yes. On my website, which is sarahgetoff.com, SarahGetoff.com, there is a option to book a 20-minute free consult by mm-hmm. phone. They can book it right there on the website. There's also information about the Get Unstuck EFT tapping group that mm-hmm. I'm offering under the workshops tab. And there's an opportunity to come to a free group and get to know a little bit about me and EFT tapping for free with no obligation mm-hmm. this coming Tuesday, September 24th, mm-hmm. from 3 to 4:30 in downtown.
2019, in case there's a repeat.
Yes, yeah. yes, 2019, September 24th, Tuesday from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And there's more information about that on my website.
Okay. That's great. Well, it was very nice getting to know you more, Sarah, and I hope this show gets many interested people over your way. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Ira.
This has been the Western Mass Business Show. I'm Ira Brick. For all of our past shows, go to whmp.com, look up podcasts, etc. So thank you so much. Take care.